Isn't that a great title? A Fine and Pleasant Misery. I don't know if you've read this or not. This is by an author by the name of Pat McManus. Pat was a columnist, newspaper columnist for a long time, an avid outdoor enthusiast, and he took his love of writing and love of the outdoors and wrote a series of books about his adventures, mostly in childhood, or I guess I should say misadventures, mostly in childhood, and began to publish these books. And this one is my favorite. This one used to belong to my grandfather, and it's now mine, and I love it dearly, especially the first story in it, which is titled the same as the book, A Fine and Pleasant Misery. And it's about 6 pages long, but it takes me, if I read it to myself, it takes me about that amount of time to read it, maybe 6-8 minutes to read it to myself. And I think it's very, very funny. And I inwardly chuckle to myself as I read this. However, if I read this to somebody out loud, something different happens. Something very different happens. I years ago, I was invited to come into a public school and read to some kids, and just as like, hey, adults read, you should read. And so I brought this with me because it was my favorite book, and I didn't realize that when I read it out loud to an audience, things would happen. And laughter would kind of bubble up, and my own laughter would get going. I've read this multiple times to my wife now, because both of us just start giggling as we read it. Reading this out loud takes 15 to 20 minutes because we have to keep breaking for laughter. It's so bad that I start wheezing and Sarah has to grab her inhaler. Something's different when we share things with other people. Something's different when we read things out loud. As Meg said, we've been in this teaching series on how we read the Bible. Talking about what the Bible is and where it came from and how we ought to engage with it, and talked about interpreting the Bible and asking better questions of the Bible. And Marty's taken us through kind of the overarching story of the Bible forced us to ask the question, is there a better path through the Bible than literalism? And over the next couple of weeks, we want to continue to round out this series specifically with talking about reading the Bible with other people. We want to talk about reading the Bible with each other, that's today. And then we want to talk about reading the Bible with the Holy Spirit, that's next week. And Meg has that message next week. But today we want to talk about what it means to read the Bible with each other. There's actually a great story in the Old Testament about what happened at a time when people read the scriptures together. It's in the book of Nehemiah, and if you have your copy of the Bible with you, feel free to open up to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. If you don't know where Nehemiah is, you could probably be forgiven for that. We don't really go to Nehemiah all that often. It's just before Psalms. Find the Psalms back up through Esther, and then you'll find Nehemiah. So if you have your copy of the Bible, feel free to turn to Nehemiah. The words, of course, will be on the wall behind me as well. But as Nehemiah chapter 8 opens, what has happened is that the people of God have come back out of exile. They were exiled to the land of Babylon. Babylonians were eventually conquered by the Persians, and the Persian king receives essentially a directive from God to let the people go back home, which he does. And he actually funds their trip home, and he funds the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the wall, and those things have happened. The people have come home, and they've settled in their land. They've rebuilt their city. They've rebuilt their temple. And now it is time to rededicate themselves to being people of God. And that's kind of how the last half of the book of Nehemiah goes, is about that rededication. And this story is part of that larger narrative. So here's what happened. This is Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early in the morning until midday, in the presence of all of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And the scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for this purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Thanks. I don't know if any of those are right, but if you read them with confidence, nobody knows the difference. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. So this is what happens. The people come into the square in front of the gate, and they're going to be read to from the book of the law of Moses. I'm not really sure what part of the book of the law of Moses. Some scholars think it's just Deuteronomy that's being read here. Some scholars think it's all of the Pentateuch that's being read here. Whatever's being read, it begins in the morning and it goes until midday. And the people are there in the square standing for hours upon hours as the book of the law is read, as the scriptures are read to the people. And much like reading my favorite book to someone out loud, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen as the word of God is read aloud. What happens? Well, we're going to keep reading here in Nehemiah chapter 8 and see what exactly takes place as the word of God is read out loud. So here's the next verse. This is verse 6 of chapter 8. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. One of the things that happens when we read in community with each other is that reading in community draws us closer to God. Reading in community draws us in closer to God. A spontaneous moment of worship breaks out from the people. There are no instructions given, apparently, that this is what's to happen when the word of the Lord is read, but it is what happens. The people throw their hands in the air and they say amen, which is the word that means it's true, or let it be true. So they hear the word of the God, and they say, yes, this is true, or we want this to be true. And then they bow down with their faces to the ground and they break out in worship. This is what can happen when we read together in community, that we are drawn closer to God. It's what should happen when we read in community. We're drawn closer to God. It's why God's word is read aloud. It's why 1 Timothy chapter 4 commands, Paul writes to Timothy and commands, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. That's a specific command in 1 Timothy, that the scriptures should be read publicly, aloud, with other people. Why? Because it draws people closer to God. It's why we still do this every week when we gather as a church around the globe. Churches of every stripe, every denomination, open up the Word of God and they read from it. We read it responsively. We read it as calls to worship. We read it as part of the worship service. We incorporate it into our music. We read it during the sermons because we believe that there's something in these words that draws us closer to God. And so we still do that today. A public reading of Scripture. That's part of why church matters. It's part of why the gathering matters. Because in the gathering, the Word of God is read aloud in community. And that draws us closer to God. By the way, you don't have to just do that on Sunday mornings. You can read aloud in community in other ways, at other times, with friends, with family members. You can do that with the global church. You can pick up the lectionary and read through the same passages every day that the rest of the church around the globe is reading through. But there's something special in reading in community with other people. So that's the first thing that happens, is that they are drawn close to God. A spontaneous moment of worship breaks out. Here's the second thing that happens. This is verses 7 and 8 of that same chapter. Another list of names. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, whatever, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Isn't that beautiful? They gave the sense so that people understood the reading. One of the things that happens when we read in community is that reading in community brings us a deeper understanding. Reading in community brings us a deeper understanding. They helped the people understand. By the way, these words, they interpreted and gave a sense of, literally means something like they read it clearly to gain insight. They read it clearly to gain insight. That's so beautiful. I love that. We need other people for this. Do not allow yourself to be fooled that an individual alone can gain all of the insight that there is in the Scripture by themselves. We can gain some insight by ourselves. Absolutely, that is true. And we should be reading the Bible as individuals. I am 100% in favor of this. But I got to be honest, very little of what I know and understand about the Bible has come from my own personal study. The vast majority of what I know and understand has come because other people have talked with me, have taught me, have argued with me, have corrected me when I've said dumb stuff about the Bible. The vast majority of my understanding about the Bible has come because of the community. The community has helped me go deeper into God's Word. Whether that was Sunday school teachers when I was growing up, whether it was pastors I was sitting under, whether it's friends that I've talked about the Bible with, whether it's professors that I studied with, whether it's people that I've read what they've written about it, I need other people. I need other people in order to gain deep understanding of the Bible. Without scholars and friends, without mentors and authors, I wouldn't know the Bible as well as I do. And without the church, I would not understand the Word of God in a deep and meaningful way. The New Testament, again, kind of plays this out, both in a couple of times. One in the book of Acts, very early on, we see the new Christian church gathering in Solomon's colonnade at the temple to talk about the Scriptures on a near daily basis. And then in Acts 17, we find Paul in the city of Berea giving the gospel to the Jewish believers there in one of the synagogues. And there's this amazing thing that says that the people of the synagogue gathered daily to search the Scriptures to see if Paul was right. A group of people gathered together every day to read the Word of God together to gain deep understanding about what a person had said to them, whether it was right or not. And because they did that, Acts 17 says, a great number of them believed. It's hard to read together sometimes. We don't always see the Bible the same way. We don't always understand the Bible the same way. It's hard to do that, but it's so much better. We learn more and we go deeper when we read the Bible together in community. So reading the Bible in community brings us a greater understanding and it draws us closer to God, but there's one more thing that happens in this story. We pick up reading in verse 9 and we're going to go through verse 12. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, all said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Reading in community results in joy. Reading in community results in joy. The people of Israel who had gathered to hear the word of the Lord read, their sorrow turns to joy because of the word of the Lord. I don't know what it was that was causing them to weep. We could speculate. Maybe they were weeping over all that they had lost. Maybe they were weeping because they had not heard this book before, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is so much." Maybe they were weeping because, man, we haven't been living up to this. Maybe they were weeping because, "Oh, what is God going to do to us?" I have no idea why they were weeping. But their leader said, "No, these words should turn your weeping into rejoicing." And that's what happens. The people are stilled, their mourning ceases, and they go on their way rejoicing. And I love it, they go on their way rejoicing because they had understood the words. That's beautiful. When we understand God's word, there is a joy that is ours. We can go on our way rejoicing because we have received from God something good and something true and something beautiful. The Bible sometimes brings rebuke or correction to us. That is true. But it always also brings us joy. And listen, if it doesn't, if reading the Bible in community isn't bringing joy, then I have to wonder, is that because we've refused it? Is that because we've abused it? Is that because we've misunderstood it? Because when the Bible is read in community, it results in joy. So how are you reading the Bible? Are you reading it in community? There is so much value to that. And again, it doesn't mean that you don't ever read alone, but reading in community matters, whether it's in the gathering of the church or whether it's even just with one other person. There's a story in the New Testament in Acts chapter 8 about two people who get together to read the Bible. And as it turns out, the exact same things that happened in Nehemiah happen in Acts. It's amazing. We know the story usually as the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. It goes like this. This is Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. "Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road.' So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over to this chariot and join it.' So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he replied, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shear, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch asked Philip, 'About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' And then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing." Two people got together and read the word of God, and the same three things happened: an understanding, a drawing close to God in baptism, which, by the way, If that's something that you're ever interested in, that's something we want to talk to you about. And then going on his way rejoicing. This is what happens when we read the scripture together in community. I love the Bible deeply. And my love for the Bible began because it was read out loud to me in a community. When I was very, very young, younger perhaps even than I can remember, my father would come in the evenings to the room that I shared with my brother, and he would sit on the edge of one of our beds, and my brother and I would listen as my father read aloud from the Word of God. That is how I began to love the Scriptures, because somebody took the time to read it with me. A few years ago, I was working a week of camp up in Michigan, and our theme for that week was embedded in Philippians chapter 2. And we decided, as the people who were putting together that week of camp and leading the week, like, wouldn't it be cool if we read Philippians 2 out loud every day at this week of camp? And then we got talking about it some more, and we're like, well, wouldn't it be cool if we read it out loud like twice a day? And the more we thought about it, we decided it would be very cool if we read it out loud three times a day. And I think by the time we did camp, we were reading it four times a day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, and before bed. We were reading the entire chapter, Philippians 2, out loud with all of our campers, 100 students and faculty, reading Philippians 2 four times a day. And something very interesting happened. By the second day of camp, our students were sick of Philippians chapter 2. That one may be predictable. But after that, something changed. And by the end of the week of camp, our students had fallen in love with Philippians chapter 2, and I had fallen in love with Philippians chapter 2 all over again. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite chapters of the Scriptures. And we had students that came up to us, and we were like, man, I feel like I understand the Bible better now. Well, it's amazing what happens when you read it out loud together in community. We have a deeper understanding. We're drawn closer to God. And we go on our way rejoicing. We have been given this amazing gift, this Word of God, and what we do with it matters. And if we don't read it, it won't make a difference in our lives. And if we don't read it together, in community, it won't impact us the way that it could. And that goes against the kind of rugged individualism of the American ideal, I understand. But reading together in community can be just one more way that the church is different than the society around us. So may we love the Scriptures that God has given to us, and may they draw us to God and give us understanding. And may we be sent out rejoicing because of the Word of God. Amen.